Whenever you hear the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra this day and you're not at a live performance, our next guest has a lot to do with it. She's our mistress of the microphones, the sorceress of sound, the maestra of mixing, our doyen expert at digital editing. Chelsea Vandedrink is WGUC's mastering and production engineer. Thank you for being here with us.
That's quite an introduction, Frank.
I told you you'd like it.
So I love it.
Let's talk about what you do. And in fact, it seems like it's a pretty easy job. I mean, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra already sounds good. So what do you do to maintain that on radio and commercial recordings?
They do already sound good. This is a really good point. And I feel very fortunate to have the position I do with the station and the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. But it's not always easy to record something that sounds so good because you want it to be a pretty genuine recording. You want it to feel like audience members are really experiencing it, either for the first time, the second, third, or fourth. You don't want it to seem artificial or non-genuine. You know, it's really important. And being in Cincinnati, I think that's especially important because it's something we really pride ourselves on, is the music and the arts in this city. And so from a recording standpoint, it's difficult to do right by the symphony. And so that's what I try to do every single week. Every single week has its new challenges. So we don't always have the same type of soloist. Even if you have two piano concertos back to back, they're not always the same performer. They're not always the same type of music. So mixing John Adams is completely different from mixing Beethoven, as you can imagine.
Okay. So. Now, you just mentioned John Adams. Now, you're talking about his work as a composer that's being played, or John Adams, the conductor who's actually been here in town to lead the CSO.
And I believe will be here next season as well.
Okay.
Correct. Yes. And John Adams, the conductor, he's great, and the composer, which is really the same person. But his compositions are trickier to balance. The same goes for people like Jennifer Higdon or most recently Nico Muhly, who, you know, is an amazing composer. But his music is very difficult to mix and to make it sound justifiably his in comparison to something like, which was on the same program, maybe the Scriabin.
So let's go to the beginning here. I mean, kind of like the start. Take us to the steps that you do on a weekend series of concerts with the CSO that we would hear on WGUC, because they'll do two or three shows over the weekend, and then 4, 5, 6 months later, we actually get to hear it on the radio. So if you can give us a brief from the actual performance to it coming out of the radio.
So you want me to give all my secrets away?
A few of them, yeah.
That's so unfair. From the very beginning, I record the concert. That's pretty simply put. Although, like I just said, it's different from week to week. It's different from composer to composer. So I have the recording. It is archived. It is multi-tracked. So that if there are some mixes that need to be changed or really small nuances changed, we can do that in post-production. So we first do that night by night. And then I receive a list of edits and remarks from either the conductor, the associate conductor, the assistant conductor, from a slew of people. And then I go through and I make those edits. And so I edit between those two or three nights, granted what we have. And then for commercial recordings, it's a little bit more complicated than that because we'll have patch sessions. Sometimes we'll record the dress rehearsal. So we have a lot more material to suss out, which makes it a lot trickier because everything needs to sound continuous. It needs to sound like it all happened at the same time. And so from night to night, I do have to remix and reproduce and edit that together, and that can be anywhere from something really simple from choosing movements to something a lot more complicated, like a horn frack here, or a string noise here, or a giant cough here, which is probably my most important job, is to de-cough performances, which is really tricky because it's very difficult. I always call it the Cincinnati snot here in Cincinnati. Oh, so we have this beautiful orchestra, but we have the world's worst allergies. And so, unfortunately, it makes it into the auditorium, and it's not really listenable when it goes to broadcast. So those are things I have to do before I can actually say it's finally ready for air.
When you do these concerts for the radio, do you make allowances for people who are listening to them over a huge multi-$1,000 sound system? Or is this someone listening, you know, they're lying in bed with a book and they got their clock radio going?
This is a really great theoretical question for any engineer. I'm a very strong believer that whatever I put out, whether it's one file or several for audio files or just for the typical listener, that everybody can enjoy it. So they're all pretty high fidelity. They get exported at 44.1, 16-bit. I work in higher sampling rates, of course. So the broadcasts are the highest quality that they can be for broadcasts, we'll put it that way. And so they are compressed a little bit by our satellite systems and things like that so that they can reach the listeners as high fidelity as humanly possible. Now, for the commercial releases, that's a different story. Last year for our One City, One Symphonies, we only released everything at MP3 quality. This year, we actually offered them at 44.1 16-bit AIF quality. So that was something new that we had done, and we've seen a great response to it, which is great. However, those things do take longer to download, so it does force our audience members to be a little bit more patient. And so for the Lincoln Portrait CD that will be released in the fall, that will be released at probably 3 fidelities, and you can look forward to that.
So. Okay, so we got to jump around a little bit, too, and talk about the other kinds of recordings that you do with the CSO. You mentioned the commercial recordings, and those are on the CSO's label that they have called Fanfare Cincinnati. And you're connected with those, right?
Absolutely. And kudos to the symphony for doing this. The first commercial recording I was really involved in was with Philip Glass and Michael Reisman, which for any audio engineer was just incredibly intimidating but amazing to work with.
Now, that was the release of the Philip Glass Cello Concerto No. 2, Matt Heimovitz, the soloist. The conductor was Dennis Russell Davies. We should mention, too, that it got a really good review from BBC Music Magazine. It got 5 out of 5 stars for both performance and sound. So that must have made you feel pretty good.
It made me feel awesome. It's a really, really great compliment because I was really proud of that recording, and it was so much fun to work with those people. Philip Glass is incredible and inspiring, and Matt Heimovitz is so driven. You will rarely find someone so, so driven about music. And then Michael Reisman is just an engineering legend. So that was a really incredible experience. So I was really happy that the reviews came back so positive.
Now, another CD that came out was a set of music, superhero music, that the Pops put out with Fanfare. Were you on that one as well?
I'm not on that one. Actually, the 5-4 production team came down from Cleveland for that. But I was able to sit in on one of their sessions for a future release that'll be done with John Morris Russell. But they're a great team. We work with the same producer, Elaine Lee Martone. She's phenomenal, 5-time Grammy Award-winning producer. And I have learned so much just working with her and also even coordinating a little bit more with Michael Bishop back and forth from Cleveland. So we definitely have a really great symbiotic relationship with them.
Now, one of the big recordings that you worked on last year was the Luminosity concerts that took place in front of Music Hall. Now, you mentioned the Cincinnati cough, and that's in the very controlled atmosphere of Music Hall, okay? So now we're talking instead of 35,000 cheering people going absolutely nuts during the music. Did that present any challenges in recording those performances?
The people were great. The cicadas were horrible. We had huge cicada problems, and I'll never forget the look I got from Elaine when they finally decided to turn on. She looked at me and she was like, that has to be a light buzz. That has to be a microphone problem, blah, blah, blah. You know, and we're trying to suss out this issue. And lo and behold, it's a bug, and it's a lot of them. And unfortunately, the contrabassoon played their mating tone. And as soon as she played it every single night in the Beethoven, they started springing up. So it was definitely a huge challenge. You could have even caught me spraying the bushes a little bit with a very ecologically safe and sound bug spray, mind you. But I had to get rid of them. And now we know we can actually pour ice on them to get them to stop sounding. So we might have some buckets of ice on hold this year. That was our biggest problem last year.
So all the people, that didn't cause any problems, huh?
You know, in that type of a situation, you're close miking things so much more than you do in a hall anyway. And so really, you don't have as much interference from the audience because A, they're so far away, and B, you are so close microphone-wise to the orchestra. So you don't really get a whole lot of that as being an issue. Actually, I had audience mics just for responses this time.
Okay, so the cicadas, that was last year. Let's talk about this year, because I don't think there'll be the cicada problem. That's supposed to be anyway.
You say that.
Yeah. So again, it's Luminosity, same place on August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Yeah, we have 3 nights this year, which is really, really exciting. And if you didn't come last year, please come this year, because you will really miss out on it. It's a phenomenal thing that the Cincinnati Symphony does, and we should be very, very proud that they do it. I think this year has its own challenges. There'll be the choir, I believe, with soloists for the Polovotsian dances, which may be really tricky. We are doing an Adams piece. We're doing Tchaikovsky, which is great. So there's going to be its own challenges, like doing Nimrod. It's going to be really, really quiet. but it's also a very, very passionate piece. And so I have to be very, very careful microphone-wise and also mix-wise whenever we choose to do what we're going to do. And so there's a lot of different challenges that will present themselves. One of our other bigger challenges last year was weather. We did have some rain, which for a recording engineer totally freaks you out when you're outside. There's a certain point where you actually look at everybody and you say, you have 5 minutes and I'm turning my gear off, because you don't want to lose anything permanently. And so that's something we're probably going to try to work out a little bit better this year, is how to cover ourselves up.
So we should mention that many of your recordings with the CSO can be heard online on the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's website. You can do that. And every Sunday evening on WGUC, our sister station here at Cincinnati Public Radio. So let me ask you one little question here, because you are not the typical classical music engineer type, in that isn't this usually a world of older men?
Yes, actually, that's very, very true. I do work in a male-dominated profession, which is very difficult. There's a lot of milestones and issues I've had to really overcome as a woman, but also as somebody that's a bit younger. I started at the station, I think, before my 23rd birthday, and I was the youngest at the time. I think I still might be, that has a position analogous to mine here with the symphony. And so it is a little bit different. I get a lot of little crooked glares when people see me walk into the room and, like, you're handling my recording. I don't trust you. I do get that quite a bit, but it's worth it when you blow them out of the water, or when you're willing to try to blow them out of the water with your recording. I go through that every day, and the symphony here has really learned to trust me, and I really appreciate that they give me that trust and respect, and I feel like we've earned that respect between one another, and I'm very grateful that I have it, because it's been an amazing opportunity for me.
Chelsea Vandedrink is the mastering and production engineer for WGUC here at Cincinnati Public Radio. Thanks very much for cluing us in on some of your secrets.
No problem, Frank. Thanks for having me.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.